Of course, there was a time where a train full of teddy bears was actually driven by our next co-presenter, and I figured that that might have actually been part of the inspiration behind not only the train crash in Coronation Street, Graham, but also obviously the train environment that you actually went through with Hollyoaks this week. Any truth in that rumour?
No.
No. There we are. You know, it's all right. It's all right. We'll pull the photos and things up in a few seconds. I don't know. We try to work through that. Let's have a little, just a little smidgen of the magic you've brought to the screen this week.
Gocky has organised a patron.
Kathleen Angel needs us. And it's now or never. And if you don't seize it, it'll be the biggest regret you ever make in your entire life.
I don't love you and I don't need saving.
Don't think he'll be bothering us again?
Will you... love and honour.
Stop.
Take any more excitement, particularly as say the word when the actress actually said train, she says train. Oh no, train. What can we say? Another Harper classic. Yeah, exactly. And the excitement that Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward, two young, fine co-presenters who would basically be easily taken on board by the Hollywood, Hollyoaks team, except they're probably a bit too classy for the series. Sorry, Gemma, yes. Here we are.
And I'm not Northern either.
You're not Northern.
I don't have the accent.
Yeah, she's from Surrey, Graham. So there we are. And Emma is, Jessica is originally from New Zealand. But there we are. It just goes to show. But I think it's fair to say, Emma, you followed my advice and you did actually catch some of the magic of Hollyoaks.
I watched the first episode with the second half of the wedding.
Bit of a shock for the wedding, wasn't it? I didn't want to give too much away in that very teeny clip there.
Because I haven't watched... I watched the show... I used to watch it years ago, but the characters have all changed since then. So I was so confused in the first 5 minutes.
So confused.
But it was so interesting. There's so much drama in the show. And of course, the like final scenes of that episode where the train came off the rails was just, you know, I literally was on the edge of my seat.
Quite literally, you know. So, yeah. And Graham, as I said, when I actually pointed out to our managing editor here at Siren 107.3 FM, Andrew Davey, that I was watching Hollyoaks, he thought I was having a midlife crisis. You know, what? And then, of course, I pointed out that no, it was actually, you know, your own routine. I actually just noticed Facebook have actually changed the name from photos to portraits.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, exactly. How wonderful. I'll sort of work our way through that whole process. But, you know, what can we say? I mean, obviously, if you haven't seen it as yet, spoiler alert, all sorts of things coming through. Gemma Myrna being one of the key folk who was clearly sort of part of this whole thing, actually went on record. And we did see, I even took the opportunity, Graham, to have a look at the behind-the-scenes Hollyoaks system that we actually had here, the time where effectively this was raised. And as I've caught, you know, Graham, that you know, obviously we sing your praises regularly with respect to the whole sequence. And you know, just before Emma starts off on the Doctor Who scenario, which is exactly... But, you know, ultimately, I did think that the upcoming thing we're going to get a short snippet of was really a summation of how actors, and let's face it, Gemma Myrna, she did very well as, indeed, one of the McQueen family, not to be confused with Steve McQueen or, indeed, the former Manchester United and Leeds United footballer Gordon McQueen, was actually concerned when they actually came up with this little ending.
We just filmed Carmel's death scene, but it's been lovely and it's been great to be surrounded by all the girls and, you know, that's my last scene. So, yeah, we've had fun. It's been hard work and a good day, but we've had Graham to shoot it, which has been fantastic. So.
I'll just hold that there. You know, we've had Graham to shoot it, which has actually been fantastic. Now, just in case you hadn't actually heard that, because I think it's important we actually do it. We'd like to just say that one more time, Gemma.
We've had Graham to shoot it, which has been fantastic. So, and Neil doing camera, which he gets the shots straight away, doesn't he? So,
I do like the fact that Neil, your cameraman, actually gets the shots straight away. That's fantastic. Because that's what... I mean, the pace that you actually turn these things up. Graham, I mean, I know you're working on Casualty at the moment, but, you know, that is... I mean, you set yourself a big action sequence there to deal with.
Yeah, it was. That's the biggest action sequence I've ever done in my life. And for a show that I never imagined they would do or put their money into such a big event. But they did, and they did it properly. And the CGI effects there are to take out... there's no CGI in it in terms of the crash and what happened. Where the CGI effort worked was to take away... what do you call them? Safety straps for the two artists hanging out of the door. You know, when the you remember there was I forgot her character's name.
Teresa.
Teresa. Yeah, Teresa and Sonny are being a bit sort of stupid in the doorway of the train as it's coming on. And we had obviously safety straps on them so that they could obviously hang out and nothing was going to happen. That's where we used the CGI to take away that sort of stuff. The rest of it for real would happen for real. And that's a very, very complicated sequence to shoot and to make sure you've got the cameras in the right place to make sure you get the best effect of what happens, because we really turned the train over, isn't that?
Exactly. I mean, this is a... Now, we're looking at a photograph of yourself driving a tank at present, which is, of course, on the Midweek Drive page. It's one of our little location routine from there. Pointing at a teddy bear, so that's always important from that perspective.
I about to run over it?
Teddy's to ride the train that was actually there. No, I don't think you were actually sort of riding over the tank, if memory serves. There we have yourself and some of our location reporter team up in Scarborough, effectively, doing the tiger tank scenario that was around from that point of view. And there we have the teddy bear train with indeed your good wife Bernadette there and Katrina and indeed Louise Hobson, who are actually doing their stuff from that perspective. I'm still saying that surely, you know, this must have influenced the whole essence of what you were doing with respect to Hollyoaks. You know, this is the biggest number of teddy bears on a train that was actually around from that perspective. And I think, you know, surely, you
that
know,
seems a bit more positive than the Hollyoaks train incident, though.
No bears were killed in the making of that particular location report, it has to be said, but you know, it was a critical side of things. Oh, we've actually gone on to walking in waters and all sorts of other bits and pieces now. Extraordinary in every sort of sense of the word there, and we'll pull up a variety of other things as well. A name check for the cameraman. You know, would you like to sort of just give him a sort of a tribute? Did they do you proud actually on Hollyoaks?
Yes, it was the most fantastic crew of people I've worked with ever. I thought I worked with some really good crews. But they were superb. The spirit in which it was made was brilliant. Because a lot of people would have gone, oh, God, this is going to be so hard. We really want to go out and really not wish to be there. But everybody did. They really wanted to make this, really turn this into a big event and make it absolutely special. Particularly for the artists concerned who were going to be killed in it and you know,
well,
saying goodbye.
You see, this is the point, Graham. You know, I mean, I was talking about this earlier today. Surely, when word gets out amongst the actors, the thesps and so on, that you're about to actually take over there, whether it's Emmerdale, whether it's Coronation Street, whether it's EastEnders, Hollyoaks, etc., surely they must be checking their contracts, thinking, oh, my goodness, there's going to be a huge disaster. What's going to happen? You know, Coronation Street, you know, after announcing she was leaving the show, Hollyoaks funny and ditzy Carmel McQueen said her goodbyes as actress Gemma Myrna's final scene aired. And some of the social media that comes from this, too beautiful, but this was so sad, so sad. Fellow cast mate and close friend Jennifer Metcalf tweeted, "My beaut at Gemma Myrna has flipping killed it. I love you, Jem." It's just like a whole range of things that's coming through this. Their on-screen cousin Georgie Porter joined in saying, "Great to hear you were all bawling your eyes out. Tweepies, as we were all going to miss you. Gemma Myrna, with all my heart." Alex Fletcher tweeted, "Hollyoaks Channel 4, OMG, the train crash, best I've seen. Hats off to everyone involved, especially to Gemma Myrna." Was Gemma up to speed? I mean, would you say she deserves an invite to the Midweek Drive?
Yes, she was brilliant. And she knew it was going to be her demise many, many months ago. It was all planned. I mean, I don't know about the arrangements of what she put or did she want to go. I have no idea. by the way she was, it was a mutual agreement. I think she felt 8 years is a long time and I should move on now. And she should.
And it's fair to say that the shot of the actress is sort of at the end of that sequence that you were shooting, and you can see behind the scenes, obviously, on the foreign demand thing, looks pretty much after most of our standard location reports, neither of which, obviously, Jessica or indeed Emma have actually sort of experienced as yet. So, you know, it's a different line. But positive stuff there. Moving on, Emma, you have got questions for Graham about the Doctor Who.
Oh my gosh, yes. Mm. I'm going to try and stay calm here because I'm so excited to be talking to you.
You might meet him one day as well. It's even more.
I don't know how I'm going to cope with that.
Emma, I don't want to, he's actually sat in the very same chair that you're sitting in a matter of 18 months ago.
Don't do that to me. Yes. No, I'm a huge fan of Doctor Who, and I know you've worked on both Classic Who and the New Who, as you might call it. But my favourite episode has to be Doomsday, which I believe you got your BAFTA for. And I have to just tell you, not only is that episode so action-packed and exciting, it also makes me cry every time I watch it. So, just congratulations on being amazing.
I wish I'd thought the same, but thank you very, very much for saying that. That's very, very kind. What made you cry?
Oh, my God, everything. It's so dramatic. It's so dramatic. It's, oh, my gosh. I love Doctor Who. So, anything, like, if any of the characters are in trouble, I just can't deal with it.
The thing for me about that period of Doctor Who was the honesty in which all the actors played their characters and wanted to play it for real. And that's the secret of Doctor Who. If you play it for real and don't send it up in any way whatsoever, play the action and the drama as if it really is happening, it really can happen, and believe in it. And every actor would probably say that anyway, but a lot of people don't. They kind of think they can just swan in and do a sort of number three character and then move on and take the money and run. You can't. You get found out in those sort of shows. You've really got to make them believable, even because they are far-fetched, some of them, and extraordinary, but they are brilliant stories. And when you've got Russell T. Davis at the helm, you know you're going to have a fantastic script with full of emotion to make you cry.
Definitely, yeah.
I'm just actually pulling up the photographs of the Myathon, of course, when we saved the world, Graham, because obviously had we not had that 25-hour non-stop radio programme, clearly the world would have ended, and just prove that the very same chair. With the tinsel added there, but you know, there you go. See, also with, of course, the traditional midweek drivette pose. very good for that sort of point. It's Nicola Clancy actually sort of appearing on that sort of point. Sort of things there. So there you have it, some of the sort of the key sort of elements that are there. But of course, Graham, life continues and Hollyoak has sort of wrapped up in its own sort of sequence, and you've moved on to something slightly more wonderful in its own sense, the Casualty scenario.
Yes, it is. And my scripts that I have are really nice. They're not action-packed. There is some action, but they're much more heartfelt stories. Heartfelt? How can you say that and someone dies? But the stories I've got in Casualty are absolutely... one of them is so moving. It's a beautifully moving story. So I'm really pleased to be doing it. Because although I love action-adventure, I love to have a really good story, something really gripping and emotional that makes you... really makes you feel and think about things.
Now, I was having a look at the Casualty website earlier today, and I saw that you've actually introduced, or at least the series has introduced, a hospital radio in Holby City.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
It is extraordinary in every sense of the word, and I just thought you need to actually have a listen to that side of things. But do you want to have a little sort of excerpt in terms of the sort of message that comes across from that, Graham? I'm waiting for your answer. Is it a yes or a no?
It could be a yes.
I just want you to have a... Just check this little number out.
I could get used to this radio, Malarkey. Yeah. I think I found my niche. Find the voice, find the character.
Oh, you idiot!
Yeah, well, you see, there are a number of issues that I have there. And number one, find your voice, find the character, fine. But you don't actually then unplug the entire sort of system by tripping over the side. I'm just raising this, Graham, in case you actually have to do anything in the sort of Holby City hospital radio thing to actually work through. That, you know,
shall I put you forward as the advisor?
I think we should be cast.
Oh, God. Here we go. I knew there was an ultimate. You know what you want to do, then? Are you an actor?
Casualty without Surrey's finest in terms of Emma Tinson would be completely lost in all sorts of ways. Actually, on a slightly serious note, we have to sort of say commiserations to the family of Rebecca Gibbs. Did you ever direct Rebecca Gibbs, who sadly passed away today?
No, I thought that was sad. I know who she was,
Exactly.
Very sad, young, really silly.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, she's up there looking down, and probably, as I say there, if I just go to the website, as you can see there, Radio Holby. I mean, for one reason, you know, the dreadlocks are interesting in their own sort of sixties there, but yeah, if you get a chance to have a look at that Casualty BBC page, you think it's very extraordinary. Yeah. That's by the by. You can't say anything about that, but it's just, you know, Hollyoaks to count. Will you be back on Hollyoaks, or will you be back? I mean, what other adventures can we look forward to sort of following through with you, Graham?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking also of stopping.
No.
No. No. You can't do that.
You cannot, well, you know. Unless of course, you want to convert that into becoming our regular presenter on the Madrid Drive, which I think, you know, Jessica probably sort of say, yeah, okay, what the hell, you know, direct us from that point of view. Jessica, questions for yourself.
I'm going back to the Doctor Who kind of thing. How are you finding the new series, directing the new series with Peter...
Well, he's not, actually.
Are you not?
I'm still thinking, you know, Stephen
Moffat. I think
Moffat,
maybe,
Brian,
maybe.
Yeah, the campaign should
you
be
should
there.
You should be. Yeah. Make it better.
My honest opinion is, and I thought it was Sour Grapes at one time, it isn't now, because I don't want to do Doctor Who now. I want to move on. But I found this series... I found it boring, to be honest. Okay. Apart from the last episode, I found it. I personally think Peter Capaldi is wrong. I love him. I think he's a terrific actor. I just think he's too well known for other things. I can never think of him as Doctor Who, so it doesn't work for me. But that doesn't mean it doesn't work for anybody else. And I'm hoping it gets lots and lots of views and keeps going. Otherwise, we'll all be lost. But I found the first episodes quite dull, slow and boring, to be honest.
We will find out what Alan Stevens, somebody else, of course, with a mutual colleague, what Alan Stevens, a self-styled doctor, I say he's not self-styled, he is a Doctor Who scholar, but he's also written extensively on the whole thing together with Dr. Fiona Moore as well. So we'll find out what Alan Stevens makes of the whole series shortly after 6 o'clock this evening. For what it's worth, Graham, as I think when we've spoken before, I think, there's some good points, etc. Interesting. Have to say thank you again officially for you actually calling me up. It was actually in the midst of a seminar, so I had to sort of say, no, I'm sorry, I have to take this call later, when he actually did. The BAFTA award-winning director. I had to see my student first. You know, priorities.
I thought that was correct.
Yeah, exactly. You alerted me to, obviously, Holby City, because it's not a series I would have watched otherwise. I stick with it. Yeah, no, Holby, what did I say? Hollyoaks. So easily confused, but there we are. And I would certainly heartily recommend that you either catch Hollyoaks, possibly while you're listening to the Midweek Drive, although it's not the same if you watch that with subtitles, you know, because the train crash is happening on Channel 4 at 6:30, you know, 6:30 p.m. Yeah. You know, that's when it's taking place on Channel 4. Or you could always use those 4 on demand services to actually.
Yeah, you could listen to the Midweek Drive and then watch it on Plus One.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then you get the best of both worlds.
This is, you see,
I love it.
And that's why Emma has proved to be a startlingly wonderful new addition to the Midweek Drive team. You know, Midweek Drivettes are actually there.
Very, very good. Good.
We'll be speaking to Natalie Tuck tomorrow morning, which is now an ace business journalist working in London. But time as ever is catching up on us, so I'm going to ask Jessica to throw those last two questions towards you, Mr. Harper.
Okay, so have you enjoyed the Midweek Drive this week? Today?
I have, very much.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Yes. Yes, very much.
Absolutely.
As long as he rings me and asks me, yes.
It's a crucial line in terms of the whole sort of sequence, etc. I must admit that, you know, we've obviously had a lot of sort of Hollyoaks stuff, etc. But I do feel that there's a particular aspect. I mean, I thought maybe we'd go with It's in His Kiss, because I thought that was quite strange. And I must admit, when I saw the opening sequence to Hollyoaks on Monday, and we have all these fine females with hair pins, and I think, is this the show for me? Am I getting in touch with the whole thing? But and don't get me started, obviously, on the classic Gemma Myrna line, does my bottom look big in this, with respect to the underpants sequence in the train. But I thought that was wrong. Party indeed, you have to say. You know, P-A-R-T-Y. I mean, there's so much we can talk about. We will go on to talk about Graham Harper. We'll return. A round of applause for Graham Harper, please.
Thank you very much, Graham.
Would you like to identify this little tune that's coming up now? It probably was featured on the actual thing itself on Hollyoaks. It is the OJs and
Love Train.
Yay! Yeah.